This is Wisconsin Public Radio on NPR One.
When Milwaukee Mayor Henry Meyer created Summerfest in 1968, he dreamed of a festival that would bring the community together. Here's the mayor singing a song he wrote called the Milwaukee Summerfest Polka. Years later, people are still flocking to the downtown lakefront annually for what's dubbed the world's largest music festival. Over those years, fans have welcomed thousands of artists, everyone from Tom Petty to Tina Turner to Johnny Cash. One person who fell for Summerfest at an early age is Jordan Lee. He's program director of Radio Milwaukee. Growing up outside Milwaukee, he has fond memories of making the trip to get his face painted as a kid. As a teenager, Lee and his friends would pile into their cars to make the trek to Summerfest, staying all day long.
Kenosha was like a south suburb of Milwaukee for me, so Summerfest was just an annual pilgrimage. We always went.
Eventually, Lee was performing at the big gig with groups like local hip-hop staples, the Rusty Pelicans. I talked with Lee recently about the impact Summerfest has had not only on his life, but on the city of Milwaukee.
The ability for them to have those really, really big artists, you know, your Rolling Stones, your Paul McCartneys, they validate the large scaleness of Summerfest, because I think it's easy as a Milwaukee resident or a Wisconsin resident to just think of it as kind of like it's like a fair, you know, it's like something you go to and do and you participate in, maybe getting some corn and riding on Skyglider, and you forget that there's some of the biggest Grammy Award winning Hall of Fame artists of all musical time have played at this festival.
And that's a great point, because, you know, maybe someone is going to see Paul McCartney, but they get to Summerfest a little early and they end up seeing a Milwaukee band or some other band from Wisconsin, and then they find like a new musical love. I mean, in what other ways do you think that Summerfest has impacted the local music scene?
Absolutely. Again, it's this opportunity for local musicians to say like, hey, we've kind of made it at this step in our market. In the Milwaukee market, outside of playing a show at maybe the Riverside Theater, that would be kind of the only really huge gig you could get in this market. Summerfest does that for lots of bands. In fact, this year, there are a handful of Milwaukee headliners. You know, they're like the last spot on the stage. Like rapper Ishtar, who's been working out in Hollywood lately and just did a music video for the Bucks. I mean, this kid is 20-something years old and will be headlining a stage. That's a huge deal if you're some high school kid a couple years ago, right?
That mucho mango, you bought it, I told you thank you, I sip Arizona's while drafting, it's in my corner, now what's your lingo, can you tell me where it's coming from? Girl, I cannot stay for long, tell me what you really want. And they also saw like horseshoes and hand grenades and dead horses.
Right.
I mean, they
right.
have an amazing slot. Are there other local acts that you're excited to see this year?
Absolutely. Gold, they're on a really great trajectory right now. I mean, they're poised to be kind of like a pop rock sensation, and they've got a really good time slot. Also, local R&B artist Lex Allen is going to be opening up for BJ the Chicago Kid. I know for me personally, I was able to, with my rap group, the Rusty Pelicans, I was in for many years, we were able to open up for Public Enemy. I mean, I couldn't think of something I love more than Public Enemy. And so it really, you have this experience where it's validated everything you've thought of as you've been performing. And you think about like singing in the mirror. We all did that as kids when we were trying to figure out, you know, like, could we be a rock star one day?
Uh-huh.
And I can remember rapping in the mirror to Chuck D's lyrics and then opening up for him years later. It's just kind of like a wow factor for you as an artist.
That is amazing. And then you have some of those Milwaukee acts who have been playing Summerfest for years, like Paul Sebar, Willie Porter. You can't forget Pat McCurdy, who essentially Pat McCurdy is Summerfest.
Absolutely. If you're not eating some corn and watching Pat McCurdy, you really didn't experience Summerfest.
When you look at like some of the bigger moments in Summerfest history, you've talked about Paul McCartney last year, Rolling Stones a couple of years ago. Are there other big Summerfest moments that stick out to you?
I mean, I think just a couple years ago when they built the BMO Harris Pavilion, I think that was a good opportunity to, again, bring better, big acts onto the grounds, because ultimately that's the spirit of it, right? When when Mayor Meyer created the idea back in the 60s, the whole concept was we as a city deserve to get together. And I mean, even back then, the social ills that we have today in Milwaukee were paralleled back then. There's no difference, really, unfortunately, at the place we're at now. So I love that you have this opportunity to get people together, and you'll have things like Kirk Franklin one night, and then you'll have, you know, Alice Cooper the next night. That's a huge opportunity, again, for the main stages to be a little bit bigger and to have larger audiences.
But over the years, I've heard criticism that Summerfest isn't addressing or catering to certain communities within Milwaukee.
Absolutely.
Do you think there's much to that?
Well, it's two-sided. I see it from both angles. The side I see from the criticism is that absolutely. Our Latino community, for example, will have gigantic shows at venues like The Rave, where you've got acts from all different parts of Mexico are coming up to Milwaukee to perform these huge parties where there are thousands and thousands of Milwaukeeans there. But I don't see that happening at Summerfest. Similarly, on the rap side of things. But again, I think the flip side of that coin is you have to almost look back historically and say, like, has it really ever been embracing that? And then do those communities feel that's not for me? And how does an organization as large as Summerfest put that invitation out to those communities? I really don't know. I would love to see that happen. I think its intention always was to do that. And I think in the spirit of it, it is that way. But I would love to go and ask those folks in those communities, do you feel like Summerfest is for you?
So what do you think Summerfest's legacy is?
Well, I think right now it's the fact that this is a large music festival that's decades older than any large music festival. And again, this was founded by the people for the people. And I think that makes it unique as well. And also probably makes it sustainable, because again, if the Bonnaroos and the Coachellas of the world start to implode on themselves, which I think maybe could happen, you look at what's going on this month in Eau Claire and how Justin Vernon is kind of reinvigorating the Northwoods of Wisconsin with something that's the anti-festival. Summerfest has kind of always been that way. It's always been a little different than all of these big outdoor festivals.
That was Jordan Lee. He's program director at Radio Milwaukee. Summerfest kicks off its 50th anniversary celebration today.